Identification. You know, we have to identify things. We must identify with God. Now, there's so many things. Now, the last month, we preached on godly or ungodly part of it. That message on the spirit of death. We have all these things on tape also. But the spirit of death and godly or ungodly. Now, see, a lot of folks think because it's legal, it's godly. You know, we got a world that's mixed up out there. You know, abortion is legal, but it's ungodly, huh? Same-sex marriage is legal, but it's ungodly. It's not godly. So we're going to have to come down to, is it godly or is it ungodly? We've got into the part that he's a good moral man. You know, a lot of folks going to church, good moral men, they never have hit the altar like Josh did. See, he got something last night. But you must see, can he be godly unless he's born again? See, born again makes us godly. And the kingdom of God that Jesus came to give us, as Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That identifies. How many folks do you know that go to church, even claim they've got the Holy Ghost, that's got His righteousness in them, and they're doing His righteousness? It's His righteousness. Now, it's His peace, too. Because he said, my peace I leave unto you. And I'm glad I got it, ain't you? Without that peace. So there's peace. Then there's joy. Now how does that come? It comes in the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, the Holy Ghost is optional. I'll get it if I want to. It's not optional. It's a must. You need the Holy Ghost. I don't say you're not saved if you've not got the Holy Ghost, but you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just baptized with the Holy Ghost, but be ye filled with the Spirit, and not drunken as some is. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they done just exactly what they're supposed to do. They all spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Are you listening to me this tonight? They all spake with other tongues, and there was power present. There was so much power present that 3,000 people gave their heart to God. And some of them were priests of Judaism religion, and there were priests of that, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the priests, and some of them gave their hearts to God, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. How many believes that was a power-packed service? Well, I've seen some power-packed service, not none that big, but I'm going to tell you something. I'd like to see some again. How many would like to see some again? I'd like to see the power of God move like it was moving about 40 years ago or 50 years ago again. Some of the younger generation has never seen a real powerful move of God. So, is it godly? Here's a check test for you. When you're thinking about something, are your thoughts godly? Or is in your mind, I'd like to kill that guy, that rascal? Is it godly to gossip about each other? I got one. One was with me. It's not godly to gossip. No, that ain't godly. You know, it's people permitted in the church, and the church people do it. But it deadens the power of the church because it's not godly. See, it's kind of like a battery. There's a godly post and an ungodly post. And the godly post is positive, and the other is negative. How many wants to be negative? No, we need to be positive. God wants us to be positive. He wants us to have the power of God inside of us. And the way that power is that we weigh things out, what's godly and what's not godly, and we don't do what's ungodly, we do what's godly. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Matthew 7:24, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the flood came, the house stood because it was builded upon the rock. That church was built right, that house. So we got to see, is it godly or is it ungodly? Is it holy or is it unholy? Is this Bible holy? It's not unholy, is it? So that's what we use right there. The one that we know has been holy for hundreds of years, and it worked for me, your grandfather, and your grandfather's grandfather, and it worked establishing our nation. So I think there's a lot of ungodliness that slipped in, and people calling it God. Is it unholy, or is it holy? Is it righteous, or unrighteous? Facts of the matter is it good, or is it bad? That's a stem winder. Is it good or is it bad? Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, he anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, how many know Jesus said, such as I have give I thee? Well, if he's got the Holy Ghost and power, and how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. It was a godly thing. It was godly acts, and God was with him. And if God's not with us, we can't do something godly. We're going to have to get down to where we live a godly life. Now, my main theme tonight seems to be towards peace, which I don't know too many people that have peace. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the righteousness and peace, that's righteousness is God's righteousness. Peace is God's peace. And joy is God's joy. It's God's joy inside it. You know, it may feel good sometimes, but it may not be godly. We don't do what we feel. Let's get into this now. We must identify with God or Satan. How many knows we have to identify with something? So we have to take the terms of what is godly and what is ungodly. How many believe Satan's ungodly? How many believes that Jesus is godly? Amen. He's even the Son of God. But I've got news for you. We're the sons of God. Romans 8:14 said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we're the sons of God, then we do the same works. He said, the works that I do shall you do, and even greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. He said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to empower this church with greater works. Where's it at? It's went down the drain because of ungodliness in the church. I'm not talking about this everything. I am talking about everything too, because anything that's ungodly will short circuit the power of God in you and in the church. It'll short circuit. Now, so let's go on here just a minute. We must identify with God or Satan. And we'll go back to that one again, John 10:10, and let's go slow through it. Write it down. And here's the identity of it. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I identify it. Anything that steals, kills, and to destroy, who's that? The thief. Who is the thief? Satan. So that identifies him. But Jesus went on to say in that same verse, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So that identifies that. Is the church full of life and life more abundantly? Now, is it full of gossip and hate and envy and jealousy and strife and all these kinds of things? Is it full of dead things? Is it full of dead people? See, I found out when I was on the field in evangelistic work, the hard thing that I learned was this, that I was there to resurrect these people through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My job as an evangelist was to resurrect them. And while we're on that job just a little bit, everything needs to be evangelistic. The churches have cut out the evangelistic part of it. Paul told Timothy he was going to be a bishop or a pastor. He said, but do the work of an evangelist. Let me tell you, everybody that's sitting in the pew here, you need to be doing the work of an evangelist. You know what Grandpa was doing here for this young man here? He was doing the work of an evangelist. And he worked. Every one of you ought to be winning souls. If you're not winning souls, I don't know. That doesn't definitely identify you with the devil, but it might be lazy. It might reach out. It may not just be what God wants. See, and we get off track a little bit, and pretty soon we're way out yonder. Way out there. And I learned this, that the evangelistic part of it is to revive people, to resurrect them back to life. And you don't look at them to see how dead they look. You look at them like this. Now, they're going to be shouting in a night or two or three before I leave here. You take the picture in your mind of what God has for them, and that's evangelistic work. You see, every church ought to be evangelistic minded, but it's not anymore. It's just by four and no more. And that's just exactly what they've done. They've practiced no more till there is no more. And they're down to the place that the church is going to have to do something to get some life in it. people not going to a dead show. They want a live show. Come on, can you say that? They want something with the power in it. They want something with the life in it. They want something where the glory shines. They want something that raises the dead. They want something that heals the sick. They want something that binds up the broken heart. They want something that sets the captive free. They want something that gets their children saved. They want something that people come and say, my, what a service we had, like we had here last night and like we're having here tonight. Can you say amen? Yes. They want the power of God. And without the power, it's only a ritual. A ritual. So, we have to identify. I'll leave it to you to identify who's got it and who ain't. Huh? But them's the things that you identify by. So, the kingdom of God is given to us. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's that word peace again. Now, there's a peace that we need to enter into, which is Christ's peace. Let's go to Isaiah 57. In verse 18, he's dealing with somebody that's been covetous and wroth, and the Lord has smote this individual. And he went on, verse 17 said, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. Verse 18, he said, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I'm going to heal him. No matter what he's done, I'll heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him to his mourners. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Listen to it. Peace to him that is far off and to him that is near. He's talking about peace. It is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Now, let's go just a little further. But the wicked, listen to it, the wicked are like the troubled sea when they cannot rest, and waters cast up mock. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, does that tell you something? So we've divided this and identified wicked from righteous. Now, in righteousness, we have righteousness, what? Peace and joy. But these last two verses in Isaiah 57 said, the wicked can't have no peace. They have no peace. They're like the sea that's foaming out, stirring up. Did you know there's a lot of folks that just can't be happy unless they've got some kind of a rumor going? They just got to have somebody to down. They've just got to have somebody to chew on. They've just got to have something going so they can be happy. Did you hear? And those things does not establish righteousness, peace, and joy, but it destroys your peace of mind. See, peace is for the mind. Righteousness is for the heart. And joy is for the flesh. Our flesh rejoices. Tears streaming down your face. That's the sign that it's in the heart. And so righteousness, peace, and joy. And that means that the whole man gets a part of it. And we identify with God. The reason that we identify with God is because the power of God. Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou will keep him, what? In perfect peace. Who's got his mind on everything in the world but God. Huh? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You've got to keep your mind on God to identify with God. Somebody said, I can't do it and do all the things. You have to do it. To have a godly mind, a godly spirit, we have to keep our mind that thou will keep him in perfect peace. There's no peace to the wicked. The wicked wants to stir something up in the church. The wicked wants to stir something up in the home. The wicked wants to stir something up in the community. There is no peace. They can't feel no peace anyplace. So they trouble everything. They trouble it. It's like the trouble. It's like the sea that's foaming out its shame. The wicked has no peace. So therefore they occupy the things that they can stir up that gives them a thrill.
Did you know what he done? Did you know what she done? Well, I don't know what they done, but I know that ain't got me. We're going to have to get down to business with this thing. We've been too negligent with it. We've allowed it in the church till it's killed the church. See, we got to identify who God is. We got to identify who Jesus is. We got to identify the devil and his works. And if we allow the devil's works to go on, it'll destroy the home.
It'll destroy an individual. It'll destroy a church. It'll destroy a nation. Our nation stands right now at the point of destruction. The greatest nation that's ever been, the greatest nation that ever was known, the most powerful nation in the world that's ever known. Rome couldn't even hold it alike. But a nation that has allowed these things to go on inside of it until death rules and ungodliness rules. They'll fight in the Supreme Court for their ways. They'll fight in everything. They'll stir up this. They'll stir up that. See, we got to identify with God. And what is the godly identification? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. John 10:10, the thief comes what? Let's identify him again. But to steal, to kill. I want to get this in your spirit. And to destroy. So when you see somebody that's killing in somebody's influence, or somebody's experience, or somebody's, that's not God. Huh? I see so many people that's following the wrong things today. You know, Jim Jones had enough people following him that he had built a place in South America, and everybody thought he was right, so much right that he was might like God. But he took them all to destruction. He had them all to drink poison. Under the name of God and a spiritual leader, we got to watch who we're following anymore. We've got to watch what we're doing anymore. We'll be following something that's wrong and calling it right. If it doesn't identify with the book, if it doesn't identify with your spirit, if you've got the right spirit, you know, our spirits has to match. When I come up to somebody, the first thing I do, I feel their spirit. Don't you? And you can tell by the spirit, not by might, it says in Zechariah 4:6. It said, not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's by my spirit. So thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Because he trusteth in thee. How many trust the Lord? Because he trusteth in thee. Now let's go to another thing here. Unrest comes from mixed relationships or with Satan, the thief, robber, and killer, and destroyer. Unrest comes from mixing our relationship with God, trying to mix it with God. How many knows that the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was a mixed up tree, wasn't it? Had knowledge of fruit and then evil fruit. Somebody said, well, I'll eat of it. It looks good. It's got knowledge in it. But it's ungodly. You know why it was ungodly? God said, the day you eat that, you're going to die. It produces death. You're going to die when you eat of that. Now, let's take a look at this. Our relationship is mixed. One day I'm going to do something, and the next thing I'm going to do something else. And one day I'm listening to somebody else, and another day I'm listening to somebody else, and my mind gets all mixed up. And that's called what? Confusion. And where confusion is, there's every evil work. After a while, it gets around to big evil work. People begin to do real bad things in church, in home. Now, let's try James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in what? In all his ways. He's not got one stability in his whole life. A double-minded man. One day I'm going to do this. Next day I'm going to do that. One day I believe this, and the next day I believe that. One day I believe God, and the next day I don't believe God. Come on, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He has no stability in him. He's got to find out whether it's godly or ungodly. Mixed relationship.
And the devil said, it won't hurt you to sin a little. Yeah, I know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. But God will forgive you. Well, sure he will. But it's a mixed relationship. You don't want a mixed relationship. How many wants a pure relationship with God? You don't want to mix it. You want a pure relationship with God. So unrest comes from mixed relationship. You see somebody and they don't have no rest. They're mixed up in their mind. There's two roads before them. They don't know which road to go. And their relationship with God gets dull one day. And then it comes alive the next day. And then the next day, the relationship with the wrong things comes in. And it's a double-minded man that's unstable in all of
these ways.
And I just got to get back in Psalms 1:1-6. Let's get back in Psalm 1, verse 1 through 6.
How many wants to be blessed? Your relationship will have to be right. Your mind will have to study godly things. You'll have to refrain from wrong things. Somebody will offer you something that you don't need. Wrong thing? Now listen to what he said, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walketh, or his relationship. Walking is a relationship with God. If you walk with God, you've got a good relationship with God. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, there's the ungodly. Not godly, but the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinner, or setteth in the seat of the scornful. That's laying it all down, eh? Stand in the way of the sinner, setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Now that's godly thinking. That's godly thinking. But the other is ungodly thinking. If it's any other way, it's ungodly thinking. Now it's either godly or ungodly now. There's no gray area in this thing. We're striving to be godly, and we don't want to be ungodly. Do we? We don't want to slip around and do something. You can hide it from God anyway. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. Stand in the way of the sinner, or set in the seat of the scornful. You know, a lot of folks sit in the seat of the scornful. They'll sit in church. Somebody comes in and says, I don't like that. Somebody gets up to sing a song and says, they can't sing. Bless God, let them try it. They might get to be a good thing. Don't we want to give people a chance? Amen. Standeth not in the way of the sinner, set it in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Listen here. Then he's like a tree.
He's like this big old tree down here that I told you about last night. 300 and some years old, still standing down there in the river bottom in good black dirt. It's a bur oak tree. It was there when George Washington was born. Generation after generation after generation has passed, and the old bur oak, rooted deep in the ground.
Limbs sprinkled out. The trunk, 6 foot through.
Standing there. That's what he said you'll be like. He shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit. No, just look at the seasons it's brought forth. It's fed the squirrels, the deer. 300 and some years. It's still standing there. It's got a good relationship. It's planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what you're like. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Isaiah 61 says, they're trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That's what he says they are. So here, this man, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does will prosper. But what does the next verse say? But the ungodly are...
Verse 4.
But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that's carried about with the wind. How many knows what chaff is? It's not even the seed. It's the hull of the seed. And it just floats around and settles here and settles there. And you know, that's why... You know, you can't build a church hardly anymore because everybody's like the chaff. They're floating here and floating there. Some folks need to quit floating and root down. Are you listening to me? Root down. Get under somebody you trust, and somebody's going to teach you the right thing. And somebody's going to teach you righteousness. And somebody's going to teach you godliness. And somebody's got the power of God in their life. And somebody that's got the word of God inside of them. And somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost. And move on. God wants the church to move on. He's tired of seeing it dead. He wants it to go, and to go. So, unrest is not a very good thing, is it? Romans 8 and 6 said, to be carnally minded is death. There goes your death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Who in the world would trade life and peace for death? Well, there's a lot of folks doing it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Romans 8 and 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace is for the mind, I'll say that again, and righteousness for the heart, and joy for the flesh. When I do what I'm talking about, that brings us into a nature. What kind of a nature you think that is? What is a godly nature? Huh? It's divine nature. Let's grab that one a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power, he has given unto us all things. Now listen to this. I've preached this so much, and I just preach it over and over again. People just don't seem to pick up on it, but I'm just going to keep on preaching it. According as His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and what? And godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be able to be partakers of the, that's a godly nature, ain't it? Of the divine nature, having escaped. Look, we escaped. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that's purity, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Now listen what he said. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Just look at a promise there. You'll never fall if you do this. If you do this, what I'm talking to you tonight, you're not going to fall. When you feel yourself begin to fall, you'll grab hold. You'll hang on to God. When the time comes a crossroad and the devil's saying go this way and God's saying go that way, you'll say, I'm going with God. You'll grab his hand in a time of trouble. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. How many likes rest? I know lots of people that needs rest for their soul. They sleep and they sleep and they sleep, and then still their soul just ain't getting no rest. You know why? Because that turmoil in their mind, that indecision, that divided relationship is driving them away. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God. How many wants to be a child of God? How many wants to be godly? A child of God's going to be godly, isn't he? Who is that? That's the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He's there. He said, come on, let's go. Come, let's go. Let's go. He's talking to you right here now. Let's go. Let's get up and go. Let's do something. Let's win souls. Let's pray for the sick. Let's do what Jesus done. How Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost of power, who went about doing good and healing how many? All that were oppressed of the devil.